Okay. Moving on to the exciting part of our meeting, the chairman's report. First thing we have up is at this meeting every year we elect a vice chairman. I've had the privilege to serve as chairman for 5 years and on the commission for 7 years total, and I've yet to miss a meeting. So whoever is elected as vice chairman would serve if I ever got hit by the bus. Hope that doesn't happen. But the individual needs to have some level of knowledge of the process and parliamentary procedures. So I'll open the floor for nominations. Pete.
Over here.
Mike.
Testing.
Okay. Go ahead, Pete.
I nominate Cameron Boltes as vice chairman.
Okay. Any other nominations? Mike?
I'd like to nominate Doug Cross as vice chairman.
Okay. Any other nominations? Okay. Nominations are closed. To avoid hurt feelings, we'll do a private ballot. So if everybody just tear out a piece of paper and write down what? Wait, hold on a minute. Yeah, y'all don't have any feelings to hurt, do you? Hold on. You can't do it. Okay, all right. Well, okay, so we'll take a hand vote.
Just be clear procedurally, do we abstain from this hand vote?
It's up to you. I mean, it's... if you don't think you're good enough to serve, you vote for yourself. You should step down. Yeah, so that's right. You can vote for yourself. Yes, yeah, tacky, but you can do it. All right, you two are going to abstain. That's wonderful. Okay, sir. I'm glad I'm not paying that bill. Okay, all in favor of Cameron, raise your hand. Someone put up Doug. Okay, 1, 2, 3 in favor of Cameron. All in favor of Doug. 1, 2, 3. It's, oh, 4. Okay.
I was going to abstain.
You're waiting. Okay, well, Doug, you are the new vice chairman. May God have mercy
Thank you,
on my
Doug.
Soul. All right. I had to get y'all to exchange seats, if you would.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will
assume the subordinate position.
Wait,
you got to sit next to him. We could throw them both out and vote for somebody else. Okay, letters. Let's get going. Okay, we got a bunch of letters in here, primarily dealing with the Wildlife Federation petition and the Southern Flounder FMP Amendment 2. Just to kind of thank goodness for Catherine. I'm glad you're around, I'll tell you what. She kind of gave a brief synopsis of these. There were approximately 245 letters for the dealing with the wildlife petition with majority support for that. And for the Southern Flounder Amendment 2, there were approximately 38 letters that were opposed to the amendment. And so that's just kind of a down and dirty on a vote count on that. If y'all want to go through and double check behind her, you go right ahead. One letter, though, I do want to, sir. Yes. Yes.
Would you just tell me those numbers again?
Yeah, sure thing. There were approximately 245 letters dealing with the Federation's petition, with majority of them supporting the petition. There were approximately 38 letters dealing with the Southern Flounder FMP, with the majority opposing that. Just rough figures. And at the request of Commissioner Hendrickson, I did write a letter to the Coast Guard and to, here it is, to, I think, the Corps of Engineers. We got a response back from the Coast Guard dealing with the Barden's Inlet shoaling up and their published notice that they were going to stop maintaining it. As it turns out, they say they are going to... where'd it go? I thought I had it. Here it is. Were going to... The Coast Guard has decided to leave the markers in place from the inlet to buoy 24. I'm not exactly sure where that is. Allowing access to the lighthouse and some of the old channel. They're still saying they got a kind of a mess there, which everybody's got a mess all over the place. And but anyway, they're going to do their best to try to keep that open, which I think is a very, very responsible thing. Also, we had to send letters to the General Assembly about Southern Flounder Fishery Management Plan Amendment 2 for their input. We sent the letter, and we got no response from the General Assembly. Is that correct? That's correct. Okay.
We are looking in a new microphone for them. So.
we need a can with a string between.
We could probably save a whole day just if we got.
Yeah, just everybody leave them on.
I wanted the commission to know that we had checked with our legislative affairs and DEQ legal, and the secretary, of course, reviewed this in depth and has been very involved with this. And we appreciate that. But the committees that are to look at these things in the FRA do not meet when the legislature's in session, and they're still in session. So yeah. I don't know if they had seen those or not. And we made legislative affairs aware of that. So,
but we did what we were supposed to do, send a letter to them and got no response. Okay. All right. The ethics training and statement of economic interest reminder. Catherine, would you take that for us, please? And after that, go right on into the meeting schedule.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And right before I do, I need to give credit to Dana Gilligan. She was just did a great job last week receiving all that correspondence and processing it quickly, making sure it was information that was personal, needed to be redacted, and sent that to you in a timely fashion. And so she did a fabulous job and helped compile everything. So I want to acknowledge Dana's efforts. And so for the ethics training and statement of economic interest reminder, the North Carolina State Board of Elections and Ethics Enforcement provides mandatory ethics and lobbying education for public servants, among others. Various topics are included, one of which is filing a statement of economic interest, monitoring and avoiding conflicts of interest, and several other items. The ethics education is the primary way individuals that are subject to the State Government Ethics Act are made aware of their public duties and responsibilities, as well as the consequences for violating the ethics laws. All public servants are required to attend a commission-approved basic ethics and lobbying education presentation within 6 months of appointment, and then attend a refresher presentation at least every 2 years thereafter. Ethics and lobbying education presentations for public servants are offered online and in person, and either one satisfies the requirements. And there's information in your briefing book about where to find the availability of both the online and in-person sessions. The consequences for failing to attend these, of course, failure to attend an ethics and lobbying education presentation is a violation of the State Government Ethics Act and may result in the individual being recommended for removal from his or her public position. And so staff at the division will certainly give you some lead time and help in monitoring those due dates and be in touch with you to give you plenty of notice when it's time to take those. On the statement of economic interest, completed forms must be filed on or before April 15th of each year. And essentially, if you've done the full form 1 year, then the next year, if you've had no changes, you can do a no change form, or you can opt to do the entire thing again. But the one thing that was changed this year, the new process, the filing of those is available electronically. So that was a good change. And so the information on that is also in your briefing materials. As far as the 2020 schedule, the proposed schedule is in your notebook. And we are very interested in hearing from you if there are significant conflicts to any of those. If you look at the calendar, the Marine Fishery Commission dates follow the similar schedule of this year as far as the week within each month that they occur. And we've got those mapped out. Dana is very anxious to cement the contracts that are required for the meeting venues. So if you do have a conflict with any of those, please contact Dana or the director as soon as you can so that we can make any adjustments. And then Dana can get those contracts going so we have a place certain to meet over the course of the next year. And that's all I have.
Okay, great. Any questions? Right. Thank you, Catherine. Senate Bill 648. Yes, you will. Remind me. Yeah. Senate Bill 648 gave me some more work to do. This bill is in your books. It's entitled Authorized Establishment of Shellfish Aquaculture Enterprise Areas. And part of it under Administrative Remedy for Shellfish Leasing Appeals. It says the chair of the commission shall appoint a 3-member shellfish cultivation lease review committee to hear appeals of decisions of the secretary regarding shellfish cultivation leasing issues. It would be me serving as a hearing officer and 2 public members, one that has expertise in shellfish aquaculture, and one has expertise in coastal property or property assessment. So, and we're supposed to adopt rules to establish procedures for the appeals. So I guess we got to send it through the rulemaking process, and if we have something that pops up in the meantime, we can do it by proclamation. Would that be not correct, Mr. Director?
Yeah, I'm not sure about proclamation. I don't think there's a whole lot of variability in the conditions in that. Jacob Boyd and his group are already working on that. Part of that session law also includes multiple studies, which we'll be bringing to you hopefully in November or maybe slightly before November for review, so we can get to work on what needs to be on that. And,
right. But that would have to go through, since it says a rule, it would have to go through the rulemaking process. Is that not correct?
Yes, my understanding.
Right, so if something in the meantime pops up that we've got to deal with, you could issue a proclamation that can mirror the rules, correct?
I think we could adopt temporary rules.
Right, temporary rules,
is what we can do,
yes.
Which is a little different than a proclamation.
Right, okay, yep. Cool. All right. Any questions on this? Somebody that is an expert in aquaculture, shellfish aquaculture, and somebody that has expertise in coastal property or property assessment. No, that's me. Yep. Okay, we've been talking about for a little bit about this circle hook issue and some steps that maybe the recreational community can incorporate to help with conservation of the resource. We must take every opportunity that presents itself to employ conservation methods that have proven records in aiding the viable return of any unwanted captured species into the ecosystem. I would like for us to take that opportunity with a change in the recreational hook and line gear. It has been shown that circle hooks greatly minimize the damage of an unwanted caught species, allowing its healthy release back into the ecosystem. The same is true when barbs are bent down on hooks. I therefore would like to make the following motion, which has been reviewed by the Northern, Southern, and Flounder ACs with positive response. My motion is, and to do this motion, I want to turn the gavel over to the Vice Chair. I'm going to put you to work. All right. I'd like to make a motion that the North Carolina Marine Fisheries Commission begins rulemaking that limits the use of natural bait on hooks larger than 2-aught in size to circle hooks with the barbs bent down or removed, and that the barbs on all treble hooks be bent down or removed. And I would need a second on that.
We have a motion on the floor. Do I hear a second?
Pete.
All right, discussion.
You need to recognize my
move. Can someone kind of tell me about the studies that these circle herps, or what studies they're used?
Steve, you have you've got some information on the circle hooks and some of the studies and what's all going on.
Yeah, so we've already assembled a team to look at this as part of a larger look at reducing recreational discard mortality. And there are some issues that we're going to have to address, like, you know, what a 2-aught hook is across the board. I've reached out to other states. Massachusetts is now putting mandatory circle hook requirements in place in their striped bass fishery. Maryland has done similar things in the snapper grouper complex. They're looking at similar things, and I think in highly migratory species tournament type fishing, there's already some mandatory circle hook requirements. So, my intent with this would be to bring you back sort of proposed rules and maybe some options, if you would allow us the leeway to look at that, so that we could look at possible exceptions where circle hooks may not have any data or actually where we have data where circle hooks may actually be worse than a regular J hook or something, and that may be the case in some fisheries. Live bait king mackerel comes to mind, but if you would give us that leeway, Mr. Chair, I think we could bring you back a suite of options and pros and cons and the supporting information behind that.
I know this isn't the end-all, be-all to this, and that type of input is definitely welcome. I feel like it's something we need to start looking into. And once again, it's rulemaking. It can change a heck of a lot from now to when it's come back to us for a vote. So,
Pete?
One of the things that we're going to want to carefully look at, and this may fall to your staff's review of these hooks, is the exclusion of offset circle hooks. Some of the research we did on the Roanoke River showed that they did just about as much damage as J-hooks. So non-offset circle hooks work a lot better than offset circle hooks.
And I would be glad to amend that to say non-offset circle hooks. That was an oversight on my part.
Hold on. Are you amending your motion?
Yes, I'm amending my motion to say non-offset.
Pete, is that acceptable with your second?
Yes.
Great work over here by our new vice chair.
He's talking out of turn. I'm going to call him.
Go ahead, Cameron.
Where did you get 2-aught from?
2-aught seems to be the size of a hook that's on a jig head. And if you get, if you limit it to a, there's a challenge with using a, in the type of fisheries that you would use a jig head with, to using a circle hook. Be it sheep's head, be it just some fishing in general. It just seems like two-aught is okay for the type of fish. When you get bigger than that, you're looking at bigger fish and have a tendency to swallow a J-hook.
You know, when you say a jig head, maybe I'm confused, but are you talking about with the weight attached,
yes,
to the top of the hook?
Yeah.
Primarily, we're using significantly bigger than a 2-aught,
yeah,
in those fisheries. Yeah. And so you in a lot of ways, you're rendering that jig. You know, if you were going to put a piece of squid strip on a bucktail, mm-hmm, that's out. Mm-hmm. That's what we're saying. We're not going to use bucktail jigs anymore. And just for illustration, and one of the things I've got a problem with is if you look at these things that you handed us, everybody look at 2-aught and 4-aught. and tell me if there's a difference between a 2-aught and a 4-aught, because, and it's from manufacturer to manufacturer.
Yeah.
And so I guess that's one concern, is how are we going to quantify what that actually is? The last is, before we did anything with rulemaking, I wish there was record industry involvement in this. I wasn't contacted. I don't know any tackle shops that were contacted, fishing guides that were contacted. So that would be, before we say we want to, not that I'm opposed to it, but there's tackle shop owners that have already bought hooks for years, and we've rendered them useless. Let's get some involvement before we just dive right in. And it needs a lot of clarity, just based, I mean, just on this example.
Well, just remember, this is a petition for rule. This is to begin rulemaking. So rulemaking is going to take a year and a half. There'll be plenty of opportunity for input. And like I said, 2-aught might not be it. It might need to be larger. It might need to be smaller. It might need to be other things changed with this. But we need to start somewhere, and this is a start. I'm not going to cry if this gets greatly changed, but we need to put in some conservation measures, and this will start people talking. And it has been out there for a good 6 months. It's kind of like some other things. People don't pay attention until, oh, my gosh, it's going to happen. So,
you got a response? No, go ahead. I'm just trying to clerically do it right.
I mean, yeah, we've talked about it and we've kind of kicked it down the road, but again, we don't have industry involvement in it. So, well, I understand there's that opportunity, but before we even did it, let's get some. Yeah.
Tom?
Yes, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess one question on this, and it can be flushed out in the process, but is the intent, I'm looking for both the geographic, you know, are we talking inshore and offshore? Again, back to the king mackerel fisheries where you're doing the treble hooks often with live bait. Are we talking about those, or as well, or not the offshore?
Well, right now it's out to 3 miles, but this process will help look at all the options and help see what is workable.
Mike.
Thank you. I think it's a great idea to start looking at this. You know, in a lot of circles, we talk about angler behavior, fisherman behavior goes on both sides, you know, rec side, commercial side, what kind of behavior is out there. You know, as you start educating people on interactions with any species, you know, some are tougher than others. Some, you know, you put your hands on them, they die instantly. I mean, there's a lot of things you can't help when it comes to biology of fish. However, some of our fish stocks can probably stand to be interacted with a little more gently, especially recreationally when you're putting up super high numbers. I mean, I've seen, you know, just comments on social media from, you know, charter guides and this and that. Oh, well, we caught, you know, over the past 3 days, we've caught 500 rock, or, you know, today we had 150 trout, or, you know, you see instances like that, and it's very often that it occurs, and I think it's a great idea to move in this direction. You know, we have a lot of tourists in this state that come here to fish, and they just want to go catch a fish. They really ain't certain how to do it. They rent a rod from a pier, throw a bottom rig out there with an old J hook, hook a little croaker this big in the gut, rip the croaker off, throw it out, and essentially that's pretty bad. So I think we can learn a lot from this, but I do think there should be maybe some considerations for exemptions along the way, especially in you know, fisheries like you've brought the king mackerel, you know, treble hook using bait. I think that takes place quite a bit offshore.
It does.
So I think, you know, we don't have to consider, you know, federal waters as much as we do within the state. But when I think about this motion and the bar bent down and asking for somewhat of an exception, when I think commercial industry wise, you know, there's some trot line use for catfishes up in, you know, up in the tributaries. Some of these guys use a, you know, I think it's more of a six or seven or eight alt hook, nine bigger hooks, catch bigger fish. So, you know, I would really just like to add that, you know, exceptions be considered per fishery, per usage. So,
go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, if I could maybe speak to Cameron's concern a little bit, we could, at the commission's pleasure, we could use existing advisory committees to get public input. I know I've already, after the last AC meeting when you brought it up there, I've already reached out to, you know, the, I think it's the AFA to talk about, because they have good representation of tackle and tackle stores and things like that. We definitely want to get that input. So we have, you know, Finfish, Northern, Southern standing advisory committees we could use. That might be an option. That would be up to you.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
Ron. I brought up the commercial aspect of this, and that kind of falls under a different set of protocols. So this is be primarily, well, would be just focused in on the recreational fishing industry.
Yeah. Can I ask that you amend your motion again then? If that's where you're headed with that.
After removed, add on there for recreational fishing efforts.
Pete, is that okay? Would you as a second?
Yeah, if you start, because, you know, we had a discussion with Steve about commercial hook and line and all that kind of falls under a different set of parameters and rules. So,
but do we not have bycatch in that sector as well?
If I could.
Yes,
so,
please.
Hook and line is a gear, so yeah. Regardless of whether you're catching recreational fish or commercially, if it's hook and line, that's what we're going to define that as, is
so
a gear.
So you're saying basically it's for both sectors either way, unless...
Yeah, I think if you define it as hook and line, then anybody using a hook and a line, that's the requirement.
I was under the impression that we couldn't include any sort of commercial hook and line fishery. With this, is that what was I?
No, I think you're trying to define bycatch reduction with a type of gear, which is hook and line.
Well, then let's remove that, but we can make exceptions. Like, I mean, I've got no problems with that. Once again, this is just kind of beginning of the process. So,
Mike.
Yeah, I'm all for lengthy conversation and getting this right, but you have, you know, state shark fisheries, right, just off the beach, where guys go set 100 hooks and they can get their, you know, total amount of sharks, you know, any given time when they're allowed to catch 36 or 45 sharks. You know, you take a and you bend a barb down on the hooks, you're just pretty much wasting your time, you know. So I think there's room for exceptions, but I think there's a lot of room for improvement on gear usage, especially hook and line. Like I said, I just wanted to iterate that this is a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
And if this is not something we really need to vote on today, is it or is it not? I mean,
well, we got to start the process sometime. And, you know, if there's that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to start the process. And if we want to come back the next meeting, we can, or whatever is the pleasure of the nine.
Right. And so I just got one more question.
Go ahead.
To the council. So starting the process, the rulemaking process, how, if we start that process, when do we actually come to a conclusion, right, and then initiate, hey, this is what we've come consensus-wise, this is what we want to push forward.
And I think that's what the director was talking about in terms of bringing rule language back to the commission at that point. When you've got actual language that you're looking at, putting forward, as we talked about earlier, with your notice of text, when you're putting that out in front of the public, that's sort of the formal process beginning, is when you've got text that you're agreeing to begin the process with.
I'm going to greatly rely on staff to come up with the whole package.
Robert?
So I don't have a problem with opening a discussion for using a certain type of gear set, but this seems like it's opening a discussion to talk about a specific type of gear set. So I just have a little headache on that right now, because there's so many exceptions to this. We've already talked about as far as offshore, inshore with bucktails that somebody mentioned. I am open to the discussion. I'm not okay with saying a certain type of gear set just yet.
Cameron,
can you guys put together a proposal of what y'all think and send it to the advisory committees for their response, and then that would give us a framework to talk about? I mean, is that one way to do it, or what would be?
Yeah, I think the best way to handle this would be for us to develop an issue paper to look at, the pros and cons of it, whether or not it would conflict with existing federal or regional regulations for the use of certain types of these hooks. I think we could either put that issue paper together and bring it back to you, and you could add or change things you wanted before we sent it to an advisory committee. I think the standing advisory committees advise you. They don't advise us, so unlike an FMP committee. So I think it would probably be better to bring it back to you first. Okay. And have you look at it before you send it out to a advisory committee.
Okay. So
I'm sorry. Sam?
I just have a question. Does any other state require circle hooks, or is there anything for other states?
Massachusetts will be requiring circle hooks in 2020 for the striped bass fishery for bait, dead and live bait. Maryland is also moving down that road. There are circle hook requirements in federal offshore fisheries, some in the shark and longline fishery, I believe. So, I'm not sure. That's why I've already got a team of guys that sort of, I think are very highly qualified to look at this, and they're already starting to sort of look at the big picture. We're going to build off some information that Randy Gregory actually provided to this commission, or to the commission, several years ago, probably prior to anybody here being on it. So we'll build on that, build an issue paper around it, kind of give you a broad overview and some background, pros and cons, and bring it back to you. And then I think that then would be the time to send it out for public input.
Okay. Rob, thank you. So do you think you could have this done by our next meeting?
Mr. Chairman?
He's director.
I'm going to look back here and refer to Steve Poland, and I'm going to let him come up to the microphone for a minute. So,
you can hear me? All right. Well, my first reaction is that's hunting season. But I think for this topic to get a fair treatment, we'll need an opportunity to really do a deep dive into it. The South Atlantic Council is taking final action on Snapper Grouper Regulatory Amendment 29. I'll brief the commission on that in a few minutes. That particular action looks at requiring use of circle hooks in the Snapper Grouper fishery, along with other discard devices and strategies to avoid discards. Some of the information is already readily available in that. I'm not going to say we'll plagiarize that because, I've been working on that. So, I've got a little intellectual property in it. So, but by the next council meet or next commission meeting. I'm hesitant to commit to have anything that I feel like covers the full breadth of the issue, but I certainly feel like, you know, by November, what is it? Oh, November is the next one. February.
Yeah. So I can tell you just by reading the expressions of staff, I think February would be a better shot for us than November, if that's okay.
I'm putting this to rest real quick.
Robert?
Yeah, while we're looking at that, I just, you know, it was mentioned that we already have information on Massachusetts and I believe Maryland, but we definitely need to look at Virginia, South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida as well in regard to all the regulations too. So I'd like to see that data when it's all available. I mean, I can get on the internet when I get to my computer, but I'd like for that to be available for our public as well.
Absolutely.
I was just saying, can we still get an update in November about like what we're learning as we go, and then a final one in November?
Rob?
Okay. With that being said, and I know this is a complex issue, but I felt like we needed to get going on it, and we had to start somewhere. So what I'm going to do with Pete's okay is to withdraw that motion with the bullseye on at least February, hopefully November, but we'll go to February to come back with something that we can vote on to be sent out for comment and be initiate rulemaking at the time. Is that fair?
Is that Pete?
Okay. Is that fair?
Yeah.
All right.
Let me just. I'm not. It's not got anything to do. It's more procedural than anything else. But you know, when we get into these discussions on it, I mean, I catch a lot of fish, just like the rest of you hooking line. But y'all, you know, your part of the industry needs to lead this discussion. There are going to be some exceptions and some things that will affect the commercial industry, but I mean, y'all need to formulate this plan down y'all's side. I mean, that's what this thing is made for. I mean, y'all should take the lead on this. So that's just my opinion.
But also, hopefully, we're going to be going to more hook and line commercial fishing along the way. So we need everybody's input on there. But we're the ones who are using the hooks, and we kind of got an idea. But anyway, thank y'all for agreeing to let's getting this process going. I took it from you. Yeah. I might not have gotten it back. You're power mad.